Hello, and welcome to this edition of In the Learner's Seat on Becoming an Instructional Designer. I'm your host, Eric Stavney. I call myself an instructional designer and have had many people ask me how I became an ID. So I pulled together ideas from several great websites as well as adding some of my own to give you my take on the road to this career. First of all, you may well ask, what is an instructional designer? Christy Tucker, in her Experiencing E-Learning blog, says an ID is someone who designs and develops learning experiences. First, you meet with experts and determine what should be taught. Then you put the information together in a way that's interesting for the learner. You launch the learning experience either with a trainer or as a computer-based learning. And then you test whether learners can do what you wanted them to learn. That's just a short summary to get us going. Now about becoming an ID. I've divided up the topics into five groups: experience, community, education, tech savviness, and study. So first is experience. One of the best places to start is to seek out opportunities to teach or be taught. So every time you explain to a coworker on how to use some aspect of PowerPoint, you are in fact practicing instructional design. Every time you sit through a presentation or a meeting, you can make notes about what worked and what didn't. Take what you discovered and let that influence you on how you write your own presentations. Kathy Moore, a well-known ID blogger, advises that in fact you do start getting experience in your current job. The idea is to figure out what your organization needs and just volunteer to do it. Or just make a job aid or help sheet or write instructions, create a diagram, explain to someone how to do something without even asking first. Chances are, when you show your coworkers and boss what you've done, they'll like that. And you'll get asked to do it again. As you gain confidence, you might also look into nonprofit organizations. They are usually happy to have you design something for them. I once designed a t-shirt picture for a birding organization and got invaluable experience drafting a design and learning how to revise a design according to client feedback. Growing in your community is the second area to look at. What I mean by community is I mean the instructional design community. There's a very rich ID online community. It has many blogs and forums that can get you thinking in design terms and will give you great ideas on how to start or how to handle a certain type of design issue that you have. But you can build your community at work, too. Cami Bean on her Learning Visions website suggests that you ask your colleagues at work to review the presentations and help sheets and instructions and whatever else you've written up, and that you listen to what they say, that you get practice getting their feedback. And as you gain their trust that you're open to their suggestions, they'll start asking for your opinion, too. This type of peer review, by the way, is absolutely part of instructional design. If you have the funds to go to a conference or workshop, sign up. Definitely, a conference is a great place to network, get ideas, explore how people got where they are, learn new things. They can be a little pricey, so look carefully for opportunities near where you live. Third, you'll want to educate yourself. There's formal education you can pursue in continuing ed programs, for example, at a local community college or university. Anything from a few classes to a full-blown degree in instructional design or technology. You'll want to learn about adult learning theory and models of instructional design. That's what you're getting in your education, and you'll practice, hopefully, in a formal, more school setting, doing projects with other people and getting great feedback on how to improve. Now, some of these learning opportunities are online. For example, lynda.com offers courses in all aspects of instructional design, mostly in the learning software, the authoring software that many IDs use on the job. Now, even though this is a subscription service that you pay a certain amount a month to see classes on lynda.com, many public libraries, at least in my area, have that subscription and allow me to use it for free. So definitely something to check out. Fourth, you want to keep yourself tech savvy. If you have access to Microsoft Office, practice making presentations and diagrams in PowerPoint and creating instructions and lists of procedures in Microsoft Word. We use that all the time in instructional design, those two programs. If your company has a format that they like to use when they send out memos or write up instructions, mimic that. See if you can set up your own learning objects that you might make on the job to look just like what the company produces. PowerPoint, by the way, is a good software to learn because some of the big computer-based learning software is based on it. I'm thinking of Articulate Presenter and Articulate Storyline, for example. Storyline, Presenter, Adobe Captivate, audio recording software, some of it's free, like Audacity, Camtasia. There's a number of e-learning-based authorware that you would be wise to see if you can get some experience with. If you can borrow a friend's copy, work on their computer for a while, you can get a 30-day trial of those. And as I said, you can learn how to use them on lynda.com or YouTube. In an ebook called How to Become an Instructional Designer that's published by the e-learning industry, just Google it, they even suggest playing video games. Pay attention to what engages and motivates you as you're playing a video game. More and more, elements of video games are in fact being incorporated into learning solutions in the corporate workplace because game designers have figured out how to capture and keep your attention. And that, of course, is one of the things we most want to get when we're designing learning solutions. So finally, study. I've mentioned several people whose blogs are excellent sources of ideas in becoming a designer, as well as in learning about learning theory and models and other aspects. I'll add two more to the list. Christopher Pappas and Connie Malamed are excellent bloggers as well. I'm a hard copy book fan, so I own several books on e-learning by Ruth Clark, and also older books by some of the founders of instructional design, Gagne, Mager, and Merrill. So that's it. Getting experience, growing in your community, getting educated, remaining tech savvy, and studying. Five ways you can get going as an instructional designer. Good luck on your journey. So this is Eric Stabney signing off from this podcast of In the Learning Seat. You can write us at inthelearningseat@gmail.com.